Welcome to Cybersecurity Where You Are, the Center for Internet Security's podcast. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO at CIS.
And I'm Tony Sager, Senior Vice President and Chief Evangelist at CIS. Cybersecurity affects us all, whether we're online at home, managing a company, supporting clients, or running a state or local government.
So join us on Wednesdays as we discuss trends and threats, explore security best practices, and interview experts in the industry.
Together, we'll clarify these issues, creating confidence in the connected world.
Hello, and welcome to the show, Cybersecurity Where You Are. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO here at the Center for Internet Security. I want to talk today about AI governance. One of the things that I'm seeing now is the need, one, to address AI. Obviously, generative AI has required us to react, you know, NIST AI risk management framework, some of the EU and executive orders with respect to AI. But one of the things that I think is missing, and one of the things I've seen through a number of organizations, a number of practitioners that I've been talking to, is this, is about the specificity of what we are mentioning when we use the term AI, especially when we're moving into the governance space. And I'll go into some of the reasons why. But, you know, we open up with respectfully looking at AI being used really across different platforms in different ways. In some cases, AI has always been there. You know, there are certain tools and functionality that have always integrated machine learning and a specific capability. Now it's just, you know, bubbling to the surface necessarily, and we looking through both supply chain risk and our integration risk assessments of how we utilize such capability within our organizations. Now, I go in this direction for specificity because as I've started to look at different AI models, and when I mention models, is really how it's being utilized within an organization. So the model of deployment. You know, is it generative AI? Well, just saying AI and trying to apply a single framework of assessment in terms of risk and security and privacy and things like that have different connotations based on the implementation of that respective model. The way I'm using it is how it's deployed. And I think we need to get into contextual awareness when we're thinking about AI deployment. So I've got a couple of reasons why. So I think when we should approach the distribution of both cybersecurity policy and overall AI governance strategy. Now, AI governance is not just about security, right? There's a model to it. There's respectfully other stakeholders that we need to integrate into that governance process. So we'll go down this path. But when I'm thinking of certain capability, I'm thinking machine learning. Now, we can take a look at respective distributions of certain software for, let's say, machine learning for threat detection. We'll make it cybersecurity centric. So utilization of that machine learning model, that machine learning capability, does it necessarily change the deployment and implementation strategy from an organizational perspective? For me as a consumer, is that something I should be aware of? Well, in some cases, yes. In some cases, no. Now, we may have AI governance questionnaires, you know, following along the same path of third-party risk and supply chain questionnaires that we, you know, we fill out, or we utilize external certification or attestation for certain programs as a way to delineate, you know, we're following a respective security implementation program, a certain paradigm of security capability. But as we go down this path looking at AI, there are obviously different distributions. So we'll use in this space with this deployment model machine learning for threat detection. So necessarily, do I need to be aware of how it's implemented, what type of machine learning algorithms are being used, or that it just works? Now, I may want to dive deep in terms of saying, well, how is it you've implemented such a capability? Does it fundamentally change my supply chain risk, and necessarily how have you integrated that? Is that a third party you've used to come into the organization, or that necessarily you've contracted with to build this ML capability for your system? If so, now is there a, you know, a secondary layer, as it were, to that assessment What are their security practices, standards, operating procedures, things of that nature? But necessarily, I don't think it changes the context of implementation. Now, does it increase the attack surface? Maybe. That's why we ask questions. But I'll take it another step. So when we're then looking at other implementations, so let's say a generative AI capability. So we're integrating a tool within an organization that can respectfully take notes, or you may have seen some of the demonstrations of, I'm not available for a meeting, I'll send my AI agent, right? Generative AI, potentially AI or agentic capabilities in this space. But really, for this model is, respectfully taking notes, doing some natural language processing. What are the themes? Basically doing some synthesizing necessarily of what was discussed. Any action items identified for myself or for a respective team, etc., all cataloged, collated, and provided. Now, necessarily, I feel like we need to go down a little bit of a different path compared to machine learning algorithm. So we may do an algorithm impact assessment with machine learning. With generative AI, there's a different contextual element because of what was discussed. What's an underlying classification of what was discussed? Did you know that representatively an agent was there on my behalf, cataloging, categorizing, and managing this data? Again, that's synthesis, and necessarily then providing that back to me. But then who has access to that data? Is it now made part of a larger model? We need this information in order to make our model stronger so that we can then understand and give you respectfully better services. And so there's an element of transparency in there that I think we've started to see become more apparent, because some of these types of capabilities, these tools, have necessarily been set with the on switch. I'll go back to one of the tenets of, so some of the studying I've done is through the IAPP and their AI governance professional certification. And some of the elements in there are one, that transparency piece is one that you have a choice, and necessarily you have to understand how that data is being consumed. Now, I don't know that it's fair that we have to go through necessarily a privacy policy in order to understand how AI is being utilized as a way of defining transparency, or is it blindly aware that you have to enable the capability, and ultimately is it, switch beware, you switch it on, you have to be aware of the consequences of this, go read our terms of service, those types of things. So I think it does require a governance strategy for us to understand what is being switched on, turned on, but ultimately that requires a conversation. That requires transparency in that space. So whether it's a risk questionnaire, whether it's an AI algorithmic impact assessment type of approach, or whether or not it's a conversation or demonstration of how certain forms and functions of the AI capability are being used, certainly important. Because now the difference is, at least in my mind, it is the diversity of respectfully where this data now exists outside of a meeting necessarily one-to-one. Us having this conversation respectfully is now, ultimately that data is moved, managed, and transferred elsewhere. Now, respectfully, there could be others that say, well, you're utilizing a third-party tool to host representatively that meeting, and necessarily you could have closed captioning already on, and that's doing some elements in the space, right, of some at least natural language processing in order representatively to give us, a close representation. My accent sometimes makes words appear differently on the representative screen, but necessarily does an interesting approach to how that is managed and controlled. Now, so I set that tone, again, hopefully not muddying the waters, but really looking at the context, because I think it's important that we distinguish where we say AI is to not use it as a generic term, but really start to call out the underlying functionality. So whether it is machine learning, generative AI, an agentic AI, natural language processing, whatever it happens to be, let's use the parenthetic in order to help us move away from vague governance and move into a space where we can ask specific contextualized questions. Because it's no good me looking at machine learning for threat detection and then having a questionnaire that's talking about representatively natural language processing or certain paradigms in terms of privacy and assessment when looking at natural language capability. So we have to contextualize and use that as a view to, one, help define data privacy, two, help us understand an underlying impact assessment before we even start talking necessarily to the respective third party about what they're providing in terms of a product or service. So it leads us down certain paths. And, you know, there are a few contextualized use cases that I think necessarily are going to be good for us to think about as we go down each representative path. So I think it's, one, contextualize the function, understand then the impact, allows you to necessarily articulate risk, right? Starting to look at where risks exist within each of these elements. So it could be a supply chain element. How is this being developed? How it's being incorporated? The data usage, who owns representatively the data in those underlying processes or consumed as part of those processes? Are those contained to us? Are those representatively for anyone, or is it necessarily fed back into the model for necessarily improvement in the underlying detection and the underlying Gen AI model capability itself? So the one size fits all, I think we have to necessarily drop. Now, I say drop, I'm being not necessarily facetious, but I am saying that we want to drop and get contextualized, but there are going to be questions that we ask that are going to be consistent, right? I think we have to ask about the model types, right? I don't think that changes based on the underlying parenthetic. I think there's representatively data assessments that we need to do in order to see the input, the process, and the output. Now, again, across any different parenthetic or contextualized specific approach, those are going to be needed. Algorithms underneath all of these elements, absolutely. You know, what's being used, what's being consumed. And necessarily in some cases, you know, what some of the pushback necessarily could be is, well, that's the secret sauce, right? You know, that's you're not necessarily going to do source code review on the algorithms I'm using. I'll tell you we're using a neural network or some deep learning capability in the space, and we've got, you know, certain algorithms in terms of random forests or decision tree or some, you know, other linear regression type of approach. Depends on, you know, if we're doing classification, clustering, etc. That's fine. You know, again, it does take a certain element, as it were, to define representatively. If we ask these questions, are we going to be able to interpret the answer for it to have any meaning? One of the things, again, you know, if you've listened to the podcast before, I'm going to say I'm not doing this for compliance sake, right? I'm not saying I just have a checklist. The information comes back, read through, good. They filled it out. That's not what we're trying to do here, right? This is a security-based impact approach that we then want to inform both privacy, our utility, our third-party risk, supply chain, things of that nature. Again, if we do that right, compliance is going to be part of it, because here's your questionnaire, here's what was filled out, but here's what I gathered from it. And one of the things I often see, and that, you know, it is not a cause of angst, but it is a cause of a little bit of an issue, is not representatively doing your homework, as it were, in order to understand what's being provided back. Because no matter the context you apply, if you're not getting the information and consuming that, turning necessarily into knowledge, we'll do a, you know, kind of the data information, knowledge, wisdom type of approach. But if we're not getting anything back, or it's helping us understand that impact, determine the risk, determine whether or not this is a good product or service that we can consume and use for certain use cases within our organization based on the contextualized deployment model, what's the point? Respectfully, it is something we're going to have to certainly address. And it's not just about, you know, receiving something back. It's about engaging. It's about asking the right questions. And that's why I say the context is so very important. Because if I'm asking the wrong questions, representatively, the answers I get back are not going to mean anything for me to do anything about a risk assessment or impact. It's going to be meaningless. And so that's why we want to have conversations. You know, we want precision necessarily where we can. And again, I've mentioned, you know, certain elements of that you don't get to look behind necessarily the model in terms of seeing what we're doing, but we're going to be transparent in terms of our deployment strategy and what we're doing in this space. So again, as we move down then into some of the more advanced topics in the space, we want to think about accountability, what we're seeing in the supply chain in terms of turning necessarily a function or feature into something that could be AI related, how that then representatively affects the operation of the organization, the implementation strategy. We want to be thinking about this often and early. Implementation of a certain capability, product or service, then come back 6 months later and say, oh, well, we finished the assessment. We can't use this. What do you mean? It's integrated into my business process for the last 6 months. No. We want to have transparency early. Get that early into the process so we can understand, one, the components that are being used. What are we utilizing? Even if we're looking at a new product or service, and again, I'm going to be a little loose with the language here, but most have AI integrated now. If you've not got AI baked in, you know, AI inside is what, you know, we'll use that paradigm. It doesn't seem like you're part of the modern supply chain infrastructure, a modern product or service. If it's not AI enabled, it's not necessarily the new shiny thing that everybody wants to consume, because if it's not AI, then it's not worth our time, because it's not as advanced as other things. And again, we have to contextualize that too. Just because there's AI doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to perform anything further, anything more than what you need. And so again, we could talk business process engineering and talk about, well, what's the actual use case? I'm hoping with certain systems that even if it is AI enabled and you don't need the AI, then switch it off, right? But then you're going to have to have a control coming back to when that is switched on, that there's an approval process. Because fundamentally, again, being a little bit aggressive here with some of the language, is that turning on the AI on in a respective product or service that was switched off, not approved for implementation within a business infrastructure, increases the attack landscape, basically. Your attack surface is increased with the utility of this. Now, could be completely wrong. I'm using generalizations when I'm talking to you about being specific. But I do that in a way because we need to know the impact of when we do switch it on. And so we've got to have an understanding and a control to make sure that we're coming back looking at configuration to assess and address whether or not that capability exists within our infrastructure today when it wasn't approved yesterday. Okay. So we want to necessarily break down these components. Again, we look at what has been set from policy makers. We look at technologists, and we want to look at it from the viewpoint of cybersecurity professionals. There are different viewpoints necessarily in it for us to infer what are the requirements in the space. And so I think when we look at lifecycle approaches, we want to look at, one, what type of AI are we engaging with, right? That deployment model. We want to communicate respectfully as part of supply chain risk assessment, as part of what is the utility, one, for us, and then also what's the utility necessarily for the product or service? Why is AI integrated? What extra is it going to provide for us? In some cases, it fundamentally changes an underlying product or service, right? It's going to write the email for me, or it's going to change my tone, context. It's going to be the agent for me within meetings and providing me information when I cannot necessarily make them. Making life easier necessarily. So AI-enabled employees, huge part of the changing face of business that we see today. But there has to be training and awareness in this space. Just because it says AI doesn't necessarily mean that we should integrate it as part of our underlying capability as an organization. So there's a judicious approach to doing that. I'm really also thinking about our risk tolerance. What are we looking to do when we apply risk within our organization as to address the AI capabilities? Do we want to be cutting edge? Are we, you know, just a little bit, you know, still leading edge, but not cutting? Or are we waiting to see necessarily how certain organizations provide capability and service in this space? We do that in order to address and assess ultimately the underlying impact. Now, in some cases, be behind cutting edge or leading edge gives us an opportunity to see how they react, right? And we've seen certain instances and certain respective chat agents that are representatively provided as part of certain capabilities for systems, customer service in some cases, making promises that not necessarily a human would have made or even has the authority to make. Okay, that's fine. There are implementations of biases and hallucinations and all these other risks, but we have to contextualize those too. Just because there's a bias within a respective model doesn't mean every model has it. It's something we want to check and ask about, but representatively, is it something we can test for or something we have to rely necessarily on the deployment strategy from a respective organization? So it's also figuring in the AI lifecycle. Because we, you know, as me as a practitioner in this space, I'm very early to this. You know, I'm learning still, as it were, and I don't have a lot of good answers for some of the questions I'm posing. And if you do and have thoughts, again, podcasts@cisecurity.org. I'd love to engage in conversation and your thoughts in the space. But as we're learning to deal with this and applying privacy regs, the EU AI Act, and things of that nature as what I call some of the guard posts, the guard rails, as it were, of implementation utility and where it can be used and oversight strategies and things of that nature, very important that we bring that awareness to our organizations. Because I can imagine some of you are, in my shoes, are being, we've got to be there. If we're not AI enabled, we're losing market share, growth, our capabilities, our productivity are all suffering because you're not allowing us to move forward with such a capability. But that's good. Again, that's where I want the context of how it's going to be used. So it helps me understand and think about ultimately how we're going to enforce necessarily an underlying framework in order to address compliance, the AI models distribution, the data management, privacy control, how I representatively bring GRC capability into the form and function of this underlying system. And with that, we'll be right back after this quick break.
Operating systems in the cloud are vulnerable to malware, misconfiguration, and more. That is, unless you securely configure them. Enter the CIS Hardened Images. These virtual machine images come pre-hardened to the CIS benchmarks, providing built-in security and compliance you can trust. Available at less than 3 cents per compute hour, CIS Hardened Images save you time and money managing your cloud security posture. Available on all major cloud service platforms. So spin one up today by visiting cisecurity.org.
Thank you, and let's jump back into the episode.
It's also interesting when you'll get the commentary that it is integrated and cannot be switched off, right? It's just part now of the underlying product or service. We have to struggle with that, right? Because ultimately, if I can't turn off the representative capability, and now I'm going to have to build a governance model, what can we look at in terms of a control strategy for how the tool is being used? Again, we have to think of context because ultimately that'll determine risk, right? The severity of harm utilizing such a capability that is permanently potentially consuming our data, processing it, sharing it, and re-engaging with different elements either within or outside of our organization. You have to be very, very concerned with. And that's where the context comes into play because I can't treat everything the same. Because if everything's the same in this space, and it's a very much the way I represent data, data classification, if everything's confidential, nothing's confidential. And if everything's AI at the highest risk level, then nothing is. And it's very, very difficult to apply an appropriate approach where my time and attention, my team's time and attention is required in order to assess these AI capabilities. So there is a delineation that we need and a contextualization that will help us down this path in order to get to the specificity, as it were. The other question that also, in my mind, comes up is part of the software development lifecycle, but is also in the monitoring and maintenance of the underlying AI model. Growing with that underlying system, because as AI is enabled, representatively, that's not the final stage, right? This is a lifecycle, such as data. So we introduce data into our environment, but it's consumed, used, processed, output, integrated into other things, and you know, things of that nature. The AI capability is only going to grow. And I see kind of two areas with this. One that I've looking at right now, doing research on, is not only the initial approval of the AI capability, but its continuous control through respective lifecycle. Right. So how that AI model is going to be changed, how it's updated, how it's integrating with product and service, and then necessarily how it's going to grow, or necessarily do I have to keep reassessing it on a regular cadence? Now, with certain distributions of AI capability, that velocity may be more than me just doing an annual assessment of high risk AI implementation models or products or services, whatever, you know, however the deployment strategy works. So I've got to think about how we address that, but also representatively how I'm going to build metrics in order to represent that I understand how these capabilities are being utilized. The big thing with some security tools as well, and we've seen this with the new shiny bright thing, is that the capability of these systems are maximized at about 15% of their capability. You know, oh, great, get it integrated, get it, you know, some form of detection, protection, response, recovery type capability. And we only utilize 15% of the functionality. You know, I'll use the Excel analogy. You know, who maximizes and utilizes every function that's within Excel? Not many, I would think. Again, correct me if I'm wrong. But we have certain functions that we utilize, but we're not getting the greatest return on investment. The same thing, I think, is with AI in terms of certain capability, is it may be in vogue for a certain period of time, but we may go back to the normal business process, not re-engage, or hopefully fundamentally it changes the business process, and that's where we then need to start looking at the control. So there's a utility aspect to the AI's capability, and then also the control assessment over time is how we're looking at both incidents generated from the AI, respectfully, incidents concerning the AI in terms of its utility, and then representatively the risks we're assessing over time. Do those increase or do those decrease? Now, in some areas, and I'll say, you know, respectfully from what I've heard, there are, you know, proofs of concepts, POCs that are used in order to identify how the AI can be utilized. Now, the approval process for that doesn't necessarily translate from a POC directly into production, and some think that it does. But you move from, now let's look at some of the base security tenets. With a POC, I'm not using production data, right? Representative, yes, but not actual data, right? This is the dummy data. But transferring from there to a production instance is a completely different implementation strategy. And it's also a different mindset in terms of the underlying risk. Because when we're assessing risk of a POC, it's a lot, you know, we want to see whether or not it works for us. Oh, bang, it does. This is what we want. We got to get it into production immediately, blah, blah, blah. And bypassing certain controls, certain governance structure. Doing that then leaves us again in this after action type of approach, which is not where we want to be. We want to be necessarily, again, do I say cutting edge in terms of our internal knowledge of how AI is being deployed? Kind of, yes, but we want to do it as a team. This is cross-functional stakeholders coming to be part of this process. allowing you to be aware. So the implementer, necessarily, let's call this a project. This project, before it goes into production and operationalized, so it moves from being a project to an actual business component, a business function, requires certain sign-off, certain gating capability, and also certain assessment. Because you can go from benign data to highly confidential information. And if we don't understand how it's being used or consumed, we lose both the context of what it is, but then also the context of how we're going to use it. So those are some questions. Again, please, that this is an ongoing conversation. I'm doing a lot of work in the space, one, to get myself up to speed, and two, to be able to provide that information back to the community, because I think there's going to be some important considerations that we all need to look at with respect to AI governance. Again, mentioned a couple of resources. So we've got the EU AI Act, the NIST AI Risk Framework. We have the work from IAPP and their AI Governance Center, as well as education in that space. And I'm sure there are others. I'd be interested in what you're utilizing as resources and what you've seen and what you've started to build representatively. Again, podcast at cisecurity.org. So we'll conclude there for today. AI governance, we've got a lot more to talk about. So this will be a topic that I bring up as I see it grow. So as we start to see that life cycle increase and it become a permanent necessarily part of our business processes, there's certainly a lot more to discuss. And maybe there's more to discuss as it just integrates with our current governance practices and those have to change. It's not about doing something different. It's about modernizing our approach to GRC. If that's of interest, let me know. And with that, I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast today.
The thoughts and opinions expressed by our podcast guests are solely theirs and do not necessarily reflect those of CIS.
Tune in on Wednesdays for a new episode. And in the meantime, visit our website at cisecurity.org.
Together, we'll continue our efforts of creating confidence in the connected world.